Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul warns his brethren of Satan's devices and his wiles, which are his methods and maneuvers to deceive and to mislead. And just as the Christian is provided an arsenal of weapons with which to fight the good fight of faith, so Satan has many weapons also which he uses to capture precious souls and to retain them in spiritual bondage. John mentions the devil's avenues of temptation in 1 John 2 and verse 15, as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The devil also uses false doctrines. He uses the difficulties of life, the disappointments, hypocrisy, even among those who profess to be Christians, can be hindrances. He uses every means to create doubt and to encourage people to postpone doing what they ought to do or to turn away from the righteous things that they have done. Another device that is not always so easily detected is Satan's use of compromise. Compromising the truth is simply mixing it with error, retaining enough truth to appeal, but containing enough error to condemn. It's like mixing sand and sugar. What there is seems good, but it is no longer of use because it's contaminated with what is detrimental. The use of compromise is a gradual deceptive mechanism to render the hearts and the minds of people insensitive toward truth and a willingness to accept error. Now, we have an Old Testament demonstration of the use and the appeal of compromise in the negotiations between Moses and Pharaoh. We see how the tool of compromise works, and we can also see how the devil uses it even yet. Now, God's requirements to Pharaoh were expressed by Moses, but Pharaoh offered a number of compromises, each one falling short of what God required. He offered counter-proposals, substitutes, something less than and different from what God had spoken. God sent Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. He required a complete departure. Let my people go, was the command. All of the Israelites were to leave and never return, taking all of their possessions with them. Pharaoh's response to this command was, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Exodus 5 and verse 2. But Moses persisted with the Lord's instructions, but even as he persisted, Pharaoh resisted. Egypt was subjected to a series of plagues that demonstrated the power of God over Egypt and over Pharaoh and all of their gods. Pharaoh began to relent just a little bit under these pressures, and he began to offer compromises. So it is with Satan. When Satan sees a person who seems determined to do what is right, he will not surrender to him, but he will offer compromises and attempt to subvert that person in whatever way that he can. God commanded that Israel be allowed to leave. Pharaoh proposed, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Exodus 8 and verse 5. Well, Israel could go and sacrifice, but they had to remain in the land, Pharaoh said. But nothing short of leaving the land altogether would suffice in order to obey God. Friend, we must realize what God expects of us, and upon coming to Christ, go all the way out of the life of sin and not continue therein. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We cannot stay in a sinful world. We have to come out from such a thing, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. We have to come out of that sinful state and serve God. We must decide who we shall serve. Evil habits, adulterous marriages, profanity, drunkenness, lies, lasciviousness, false doctrine, self-will, on and on. All of that must be abandoned. Well, seeing Moses refused his first offer, Pharaoh tried again. He said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. This was much like the first. But Pharaoh realized that worshiping God in Egypt would be an abomination for the Israelites, so he would let them get just outside the border into the wilderness, but not far. His offer accommodated one objection, staying in the land, but it did not accomplish God's directions to leave and not return. And this reminds us that Satan does not mind people leaving him just a little bit, so long as they stay within easy grasp. He does not mind people, as we say, going to church on Sunday, even though he would prefer they did not. But he surely does not want you to become what some call fanatical and attend every service. He does not mind you giving something now and then, but to give as you have been prospered, to give regularly and cheerfully and sacrificially, and in order to show love for God is, to Satan, too much. He might not mind you saying a prayer before meal, but praying fervently and daily and earnestly is something that he does mind. He does not mind you even getting involved in a few good works, so long as it does not become the goal of life. He objects to allowing the standards of Christianity being your guide. God says that man is to sacrifice himself, indeed to be a living sacrifice, become servants to the Lord. But some are like the little boy who fell out of bed. When asked to explain how that happened, he answered, I guess I went to sleep too close where I got in. This may be the problem with many in the church today. They do not get in enough to keep them from falling out. They're not sufficiently removed from their former works of evil. And Peter described people like that in 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, in some very unsavory terms. The third compromise Pharaoh offered to the unrelenting Moses was just another blind that failed. Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, will we go? Well, Pharaoh countered, not so. He would not allow them to take their families and their possessions. He knew that he could keep them if their families were left behind. And this is something the devil knows about us. When we profess to follow Christ, we cannot forget about our loved ones and be content to leave them behind. We must strive to take our families with us. To be able to stand on that day at the right hand of the great judge and say, Behold, here am I, Lord, here with my wife and the children which thou gavest me, would be joy enough to fill the heart of any ransomed man. Sometimes I've heard parents say, I intend to leave it to my child to make up his own mind about the church and church activities and God, his social life, his friends, his education. This is a strange and foreign attitude from what God expects of parents. Parents do not leave other matters of lesser nature totally to the child, such as eating properly, brushing the teeth, going to school, or similar matters. Eventually, sure, everyone must decide for himself, but it is the divine duty of parents to see that the child has the proper material, the proper instruction, and the proper example by which to formulate an intelligent and righteous decision in favor of God and His righteousness. The child must be taught, guided, trained, disciplined, not simply left to themselves. And without this oversight, they will not even know the difference between right and wrong, and they'll not have any basis upon which to make good decisions. You see, God has provided parents for children for many reasons, and it's time for many parents to wake up and find out what they are. It was unthinkable to Moses and the Israelites to go to the promised land but leave their children in bondage. We have seen some parents unable to take their children with them because the child rebels. The parents turn around and return to bondage with them. But there was a fourth compromise offered from Pharaoh. It was, "Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your hearts be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." Well, you see, he's giving in a little bit more, but not enough for God's requirement to be met. He wanted them to leave their possessions, because he knew they would return for them. When one comes to God through Christ, he must bring all that he has and all that he is into the service of God. We are stewards of God's properties. What we have materially is not really our own. We're simply caretakers for a while. We're not to think that only that which is placed in the collection basket at worship service is all that belongs to God, and the rest that we have is ours to do whatever we wish. We're accountable for it all. And we ought not misuse anything that God has placed in our care for honorable use. There is the story of a man about to be baptized, and one reminded him to take his wallet out of his pocket. Well, he responded, "I think I'd better give that to the Lord also." Well, at least he had the right concept and attitude, did he not? Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, "We honor God with our substance." We cannot leave behind what God says to take with us. But friend, do you see how Pharaoh backed away little by little, but never enough? Can you see how he tried to accommodate some of the demands, but not willing to do all, trying to negotiate a compromise with Moses? "Let us go," Moses said. "Only worship in the land," was Pharaoh's response. "We must leave the land completely," said Moses. "Only don't go far away," said Pharaoh. "But we must take our families," said Moses. "Leave your children," answered Pharaoh. "We must take our possessions." "Leave your possessions," said Pharaoh. So went one compromise offer after another. The design behind each of them was to disobey God. Whatever Satan can get man to serve God only partially, which is not proper service, Satan has succeeded in his attempts to subvert the souls of man. Only when we reject Satan's compromises, friend, can we please the Lord. So let us not be ignorant of his devices. Let us be alert to the subtle ways he manipulates. Let us not be content to serve the Lord only with half a heart, and deceive ourselves into thinking this will be enough. Obeying God is not like shopping at the supermarket where you take what you want and leave what you don't want. With God, it is service to Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. We must do as did Moses, and let Satan know that we will not fall for his compromises. This has been A Burning Fire. And your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.